From the book of Philippians. We're in the third chapter. We'll start with verse 4 and read through verse 14. I think these will be recognizable words to many of you. Paul writes, "Though I have reasons for confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to be confident, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, a persecutor of the church. As for righteousness, that based on the law, faultless. But whatever the gains were to me, I now consider them loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. More than that, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have lost all things. I even consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him even in death, so that somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but I do one thing. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, in these words, may we now hear your word, and by your Spirit, may you speak to each of us what we most deeply need to know. In Christ we ask, amen. So the passage I just read for you is the lectionary passage. There's a suggested readings each week, and it's actually last week's reading. We've been talking about it for a week. It's familiar, I think, to many of you, and for some of you who have been in Spirit Lake for a while, it may bring to mind a name, Presley Cochranbray, a young woman in our community who was tied to these verses as she underwent some challenges. And at some point early last week, Michael, as we talked about these verses, said, "You know what we ought to do? We ought to check in with Presley, who's now a college student in California, and we ought to ask her if she would be willing to reflect on what these verses had meant to her." So we talked about it, got a hold of Presley. She said she would do it. Michael set it all up and handled it, and we want to start today with a brief interview that Michael did with Presley last week.
It is my distinct pleasure to welcome to worship this morning Presley Cochranbray. Many in the congregation here at First Pres will know Presley well, but there are some this morning who will meet her for the first time, and I'm thrilled for you to get to meet this young woman with such deep faith. I'll let her explain to you a little bit about her connection to this morning's scripture passage. We are reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. And these particular verses have a significant connection with Presley's own life and faith. So, Presley, welcome. We are so thrilled that you are with us and worship. And tell us a little bit about how your life connects to our scripture passage this morning, and give us some context for where it is in scripture.
Yes. So, as Michael said, I'm Presley Cochranbray. When I was 13, I was given an experience that really tested everything I thought I knew in my life. It tested my faith, tested my family, it tested me as a human. And this experience was cancer. So I was diagnosed with a really rare form of liver cancer that took over the entirety of my liver. And I hope none of you know anything about this, but because of that, I was put in a place where if certain things didn't happen in a certain amount of time, I would soon need to say my goodbyes. And so knowing that at 13, it was kind of traumatic in a way, but it allowed me to start to live my life for things and people other than myself. And so when this word broke out in my community about my diagnosis, my friends and community members came together to choose this phrase, press on. And this phrase comes from Philippians 3:14, and it says, I will press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And in this section of Philippians, Paul is really struggling within himself about things he has done in his past and mistakes he has made. And he shares this to us to remind us that there's God waiting at the end of this life calling our name. He is the prize. He is the goal.
So as Paul reflects back on his life, he determines to forget what's behind and to press on towards the goal. And Presley, I'm curious, as you reflect on your own life, as you look back upon that time when this passage and this call to press on towards the heavenly calling was so important, what have you come to understand it to mean that we should be, as people of faith, those who are called to press on?
We know all too well, we all do, that life is hard and it does not go according to our plan. And on those days where we get knocked down on our knees and we just can't seem to get up, God is reaching out his hand for us, saying he is with us. He is with us every step of the way. And in that moment, when I was 13 going through that, it was really easy to forget that there was someone out there waiting for me and calling me by name. And many times it felt as if I was alone, but I realize now that I was never alone. He's always there, and everyone around me, my community, was always there for me. So pressing on means that even when you think you can't get up, you just keep going. You press on for yourself, but you press on for others. And especially in this time, we can't be selfish for ourselves. We need to think of those around us and to think of the world and not just our own little world.
Wow. I just think it's so powerful, Presley, that you remind us that we're not just called to press on alone, but we're called to press on with those that surround us. And I'm curious, as you now look and live ahead of that experience you've had in the past, Presley, you've had a lot of time to think about what it means to press on. And many of us are in a moment in which we're really learning this passage and trying to embody it in a new way. We're pressing on in difficult circumstances. In some of our lives, this is the most difficult circumstance and season that we've been in. And I'm curious, Presley, how does it help you to remind yourself to press on each and every day of your life?
Having my experience, you know, in the back of my mind and having that a part of me now today, I use this verse to live every day and to remember that, you know, God has used me to share his word. This isn't my journey. This is the journey of everyone that was around me at the time. And it's a story of God performing a miracle. And, you know, on days I think where it just can't get any worse, I remember what I have gone through. And I do use that to for my future.
Wow. Thank you, Presley. It is such a joy to have you with us in worship at First Pres. It has been such a personal joy to get to see you again. And friends, we know that we're not going to be able to include this entire interview in worship on Sunday. So I'm going to put a link right here on the screen right now. That link will also be in the description of the videos for worship this morning. Feel free to jump in there and see the entire uncut conversation with Presley. But that said, Presley, I think it's all but fitting to invite you to have the last word in our conversation this morning.
Oh, my. I miss every one of you. I wish I was there in person with you guys, but I will be from afar. And one day, hopefully when life goes back to normal, I'll be sitting in those pews again. But yeah, I just, you know, above all, I would like to say thank you to everyone that has been a part of my story and continues to be a part of my story. Because it was really because of everyone that surrounded me that I am here today and that I was able to press on, truly. So thank you.
Friends, obviously we want to thank Presley, an impressive young woman, for sharing some of her story. A reminder that sometimes beautiful stories have ugly moments, ugly beginnings, ugly chapters. And we know that as powerful as that story is, it's only one story. And here in our midst, and to those of you listening, there are others. Many of you have your own story of struggle, of heartache, of hardship. And not all of them end with celebration. Some of them didn't go the way that you prayed and hoped that they would. And some of you had to press on, not toward the miraculous ending, but through the grief and the struggle and the pain of loss or heartache. And even Presley's story continues with some difficulty, you know, ongoing medical exams and tests and all of that. And in fact, the truth is that most of us, all of us, are never done pressing on. It's not a thing that we ever finish. And I want to make sure this morning that we understand what we mean when we encounter this passage and a phrase like this, because it's easy to get it wrong. And I don't know, especially, I don't want to be particularly hard on Iowans, but I think especially here in Iowa or the Midwest, though I think it's kind of true many places, there is this idea that when life gets hard, you just have to get stronger. You just reach down, you grab your boots, you pull, and you figure it out. Well, it's a nice idea, but really nothing could be more of a misunderstanding of what Paul's trying to tell us. Being strong and grabbing your bootstraps, those aren't bad things, but that's not what Paul is saying. It's not at all what Paul means. Paul says, I used to trust some things. I used to rely on some things. My strength, my education, my religion, my status. I had this stuff. I had achievements. I had success. I had whatever. But then I met Jesus and I learned to trust him. And I learned that he was greater than those things. In fact, compared to him, those things are garbage. Not that the things are bad, but Jesus is that good. Paul says the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, that knowing Jesus Christ passes everything else. Paul says, now my goal is to know him, to follow him. So I press on. And the most important words in the passage can easily be missed. I press on to make it my own because He has made me his own. See, pressing on, persevering is exactly not about how strong I am. It's not about our abilities. It's not about our knowledge. It's not about our status. Pressing on is about our faith in the one who is with us. We strain forward. We believe that even maybe especially in dark times, Jesus meets us there. And when everything we thought we trusted, when everything we thought held us up fades away, we realize it was never enough. And it's in that moment that we learn that Jesus is. We strain forward as we learn that we're not alone. We struggle ahead. We press on when we come to know that Jesus is with us. Sometimes that is one tiny, tiny step at a time. Sometimes it's getting out of bed in the morning. We do it not because we have an inner strength, but because Jesus Christ has claimed us as his own. And because in Jesus we know that life has to be lived forward, one step at a time, straining ahead to reach the goal of who he has called us to be. We press on not because we are strong enough, but because he is. And we do our best because we follow the one who is best, who is above every lesser thing that calls for our attention and wants to be first. We're sometimes tempted to think that good stories are the stories with no struggle. Rarely, if ever, true. Because it's in the struggle that we learn to persevere. It's in the struggle that we learn the most about Jesus. We learn the most about ourselves, and we learn where true strength comes from. These, I think, are important words, I'm sure for some of us personally, but collectively. We're in a rough moment. We're living through some strange times. We are tempted to think personally and culturally and nationally about our own stuff. But we look again to the one who leads us on how to move forward. And we confess that our money and our politics and our election and our Facebook posts, well, compared to Jesus, they don't mean much. Certainly not what we thought they did. In a time where there is so much argument, so much conversation, so much loud shouting back and forth about who is right, we pause to remember who is righteous. And we join Paul in confessing that pressing on is about him, not us. Not about how strong we are, it's about learning to rely on his strength. Not about getting our way, it's about getting to know the way of Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection. The power that allows us, in the face of the challenges of our life, knowing he is with us, to strain ahead. Moving forward in his strength when we can't find our own, and moving forward for his glory and not for ours. This is what it means to press on. That's what makes a story like Presley's so beautiful. A young woman who comes to understand that far earlier than most of us. This is what it means, pressing on. And as we do, and as you do, in whatever the circumstances you're called to face, may we know the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ. May we keep our eyes on the heavenly call that calls us forward. And may we find, may we receive, and may we give the grace of the one who meets us wherever we are and calls and carries us forward in his name. May God make it so in us that it might be so in his world. Amen.